Thank you, Craig, for leading us in that prayer a few moments ago. Thank you, Max, for leading us in song. And thank you, Alvin, for giving us the reading of the scripture there from 1 Timothy chapter 2. I'd like to encourage everyone to keep an open Bible there to 1 Timothy chapter 2, for we're going to begin there in just a moment. Again, thankful for the presence of each and every one. We do have visitors among us, and we do hope that you will be encouraged and that you'll return during each and every opportunity that you may have. As many of you know, this past Thursday marked the first official day of summer for the year 2024. And you know what that means, right? It means that we have now once again come to that time of the year when many will be shedding clothes in an attempt to stay cool and find relief from the summer heat. Simply put, there's going to be many who's going to start underdressing this time of the year in an attempt to stay cool from the warm temperatures, in an attempt to keep up with the latest and so-called hippest summer fashion trends. If you haven't already noticed that, just wait. It's going to become noticeable. You're going to start to see a lot of people start taking more clothes off this time of the year in an attempt to stay cool, in an attempt to keep up with the latest so-called fashion trends. And it is because of that that it would be good for us all to take some time to examine the question, what should we wear? I believe that's a question that most of us probably ask ourselves each and every day before we begin our day, no matter what time of the year it is, right? You probably often wake up and think, well, what should I wear today? And you're deciding what outfit to pick out. But especially this time of the year, it's good to be reminded of that question. And with this question in mind, let's make our appeal to the scriptures as we examine the question of what shall we wear. And in light of that question, let's begin by saying we should wear clothing that is modest, clothing that reflects a profession of godliness, which is precious in the sight of God. Going back there to the reading that Alvin so ably gave for us a few moments ago there from 1 Timothy chapter 2. And in verse 9, Paul's instruction there is for women to adorn themselves in modest apparel. It's important to note that this is the only place in the scripture where this word modest is found. It's the only place in the scripture you're going to find that word modest. But that word modest, it is defined as being orderly, well-arranged, or decent. And in the context here, it is simply denoting being proper in dress. We notice here in the context, Paul is addressing those who are overdressing. Did you notice that? He's addressing those who are overdressing in the context here. But it's important that we understand that we need to be modest in our dress, even in the fact that we must not overdress or underdress. That's important. That's what we're going to focus our topic on this morning. The need to be modest in the fact that we don't take too much off this time of year. It's also important to notice here in this text that Paul is instructing women. He gives this instruction and it's written to women concerning modest dress. But God, He doesn't have a double standard, does He? You know what that means? It means that us men, we too need to be mindful to dress modest, right? We too need to be aware of the need to be modest in our dress. And you think about what it means to be modest. Those that are modest, those who dress modestly, are those who dress in such a way that is viewed as respectable and honorable. Think about that. When you think about those who dress modestly, think about those who are dressed in a respectful, honorable way. Now, can you think of some ways in which are contrary to that, on how some people dress today, especially this time of the year? Can you think of some ways? What about those short shorts that come up here almost to your belly button? You think that's dressing modestly? Shake your head like this. What about those guys, those boys that like to wear their breeches down through their knees? You think that's dressing modestly? Shake your head like that. I don't know about you, but I find it very disrespectful when I see people walking around with their breeches down to their knees. I don't want to see their underwear. That's respect, very disrespectful. It's very disrespectful when girls go around and they're wearing those short shorts that I like to call tug-em shorts. And they're always going around trying to pull those shorts down, trying to make them a little longer. Let me tell you something, girls. You start tugging on your shorts, trying to make them longer. That's your sign. That's your sign that the clothes that you are wearing, they're not modest. And you think about this time of the year, many people going to the beach. Many people going to the lake. Many people swimming in the public pool. How do most of them go to swim? How are they dressed when they go to the pool, to the lake, to the beach? You think most people go there dressed modestly? I don't. Not from what I see. I'm not one who spends much time at the pool. I'm not one that you're going to find at the pool, to be honest with you. I'm not going to be there. But you think about what we see when people go to the beach. When they go swimming at the lake, at the pool. You think about what they wear. Girls like to wear those two-piece bikinis, right? Exposing much of the breast, exposing much of their buttocks. Guys, they like to go there wearing those Speedos or short shorts, no shirt. Think that's modest? It's not, is it? And we need to be mindful as Christians that we need to be aware of the way that we dress. We need to understand that we need to wear clothing that is modest no matter what activity we are participating in. No matter where we go, we need to be modest in our dress at all times. Period. And here we find a divine instruction in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 9. The need to dress in modest apparel. And notice what follows that there in verse number 10. Talking about the need not to overdress here. It says, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. I want us to think about that. You see, simply put, a Christian's inward attitude is going to be reflected by their outward attire. You ever think about that? One's inward attitude going to be reflected by what they wear. And Paul is informing us here of the need to dress modest, the need to wear clothing that reflects a profession of godliness. Godliness, by the way, can be defined as a practice that conforms to the will of God. Moral uprightness. That should be the type of attitude that we have as Christians. And simply put, when we get the heart right, our outward adoring will follow suit. When I think about that, I'm mindful of even what Peter says there in 1 Peter chapter 3. Turn there with me for a moment. The 1 Peter chapter 3. Beginning here in verse number 3. Peter penned, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Now watch this, which is very precious in the sight of God. Think about that. Again, we need to understand the need to wear clothing that is modest, clothing that reflects a profession of godliness, which is precious in the sight of God. And when we have that proper attitude, when we have that attitude that we're going to wear clothing that is going to be that of a profession of godliness, our outward appearance is going to follow suit. But I also suggest to us this morning that we should wear clothing that covers our nakedness, lest one's shame be seen. You see, although the world views nakedness as only being totally nude, it's important to note and to understand that the scriptures define nakedness as not only being totally nude, but also as being partially nude. Did you know that? Notice this with me. Let's go back there to Genesis chapter 3. I want you to notice this here in Genesis chapter 3 with me. Here in Genesis chapter 3, again, as good Bible students, we're familiar with the context here. We're familiar with Eve being tempted there in the garden and being deceived. And we remember her giving to Adam to eat. And what happened when they ate of that fruit, of that tree that they were not supposed to eat of? What happened? What happened? Well, notice this. Here in verse number 7. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. That word naked there, guess what? It's in reference to being totally nude. They knew that they were naked. They knew they were totally nude. And they did what? They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. They knew they were totally naked at that point. And what did they try to do? They tried to cover themselves. So they sewed some fig leaves together and made themselves coverings, trying to cover themselves. But I want us to notice, dropping all the way down there with me to verse number 10. It says here, when the Lord called out to Adam and said, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Guess what? We learned there in verse number 7 that they clothed themselves with some fig leaves, right? They covered themselves. But they were still naked. And I want us to notice, fast forwarding all the way down there to verse number 21. In regard to this partial covering that Adam and Eve were in as they tried to cover themselves with this partial covering. I want us to notice how this was not acceptable to God, as we see there in verse number 21. "Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and did what? Clothed them." Think about that. You see, this verse shows us that we may have something on and yet still expose our nakedness. Adam and Eve, they had coverings. They covered themselves. But that wasn't good enough. That wasn't acceptable in God's sight. Because as we see there in verse number 21, God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Now it's interesting to make mention of the fact that the Hebrew lexicon, it describes tunic and the word tunic there as being generally with sleeves covering down to the knees. So you think about that. You think about this tunic and how it is described as being a covering with sleeves down to the knees. And the Bible says God clothed them. Going back to what a lot of people try to wear this time of the year, and even bikinis, those two-piece bikinis. By the world standard, they're not naked because they got coverings on, right? A woman's breast is covered, they think, and her bottom's covered. They got coverings on. By the world's view, She's got clothes on. But you know what? By the scripture's view, she's still naked. Still naked. And we need to be mindful of that. We need to be mindful of the fact that we still may think that we have coverings on to hide or to cover our nakedness, but yet our nakedness can still be exposed. And that's not pleasing to God. serious, isn't it? You see, the Bible talks about the need to cover one's nakedness. Go with me, if you will, there to Exodus chapter 20. Here in Exodus chapter 20, we learn about the law concerning the altar. But here in Exodus chapter 20 and in verse number 26, notice the instruction here. Nor shall you go up by the steps to my altar, that your nakedness may not be exposed on it. These are the words of the Lord, addressing his people of old. Not to go up by steps to his altar. Why? That your nakedness may not be exposed on it. We go on to learn there in Exodus 28, where the instruction were given to the priest in their priestly garments. And notice what is said here in Exodus 28, verses 42 and 43. And you shall make for them linen trousers. Why? To cover their nakedness. They shall reach from the waist to the thighs. They shall be on Aaron and on his sons when they come into the tabernacle of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister in the holy place, that they do not incur iniquity and die. You think God cares whether or not our nakedness is covered? Certainly he does, doesn't he? He cared about it then, and he cares about it now. And we need to be mindful of the need to make sure that our nakedness is covered at all times. We need to make sure that we are wearing proper clothing that covers our nakedness. You think about the instruction there in Exodus 20, that the need for them to be careful not to go up steps by which their nakedness may be exposed. Let me ask you, have you ever followed a lady up the stairs wearing a short mini skirt, and as she's going up the stairs, that skirt's lifting up, those thighs are lifting up, and is showing her thighs and her buttocks? Guess what that's doing? It's exposing her nakedness. What about when that lady sits down in those short skirts? What's that do? Often exposes, that skirt lifts up and exposes that inner thigh, that buttocks. It exposes nakedness. We need to be mindful that we are not wearing clothing, brethren, that exposes our nakedness, even when we're walking upstairs or sitting down. We need to be mindful of the need to be careful what we wear even when we bend over. Again, what's going to happen when that lady wears that short skirt and she goes to bend over? You think that skirt's going to get longer? It's going to be just the opposite. It's going to get a little short. It's going to expose nakedness. Serious, isn't it? Very serious. And it's the same with men. We got to be careful too. That's why we got belts and suspenders, right? Keep our trousers on our waist where they need to be, lest our nakedness is exposed when we bend over. It's important. We need to understand the need to wear clothing that covers our nakedness, because the Bible upholds the principle that one's nakedness to be uncovered is for one's shame to be seen. Notice this with me in a couple of places. Turn there first to Isaiah 20. And here in Isaiah chapter 20, let's just begin here in verse number 3. Here the Lord said, "Just as my servant Isaiah has walked naked and barefoot 3 years for a sign and a wonder against Egypt and Ethiopia, so shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptians as prisoners and the Ethiopians as captives, young and old." Now watch this. "Naked and barefoot, with their buttocks uncovered." Why? "To the shame of Egypt." You see that? Think about that. Next time you're wearing clothing that exposes your buttocks, when that's exposed, it is a reflection of one's shame. Notice, going to Isaiah 47, again the same thought. here in Isaiah 47. And let's just begin reading here in Isaiah chapter 47. And in verse number 3, again, talking here about the humiliation of Babylon. It says in verse 3, "Your nakedness shall be uncovered. Yes, your shame will be seen." Again, the Bible upholds the principle that for one's nakedness to be uncovered is for one's shame to be seen. Even Jesus taught this principle, as we see there in Revelation chapter number 3. And there in Revelation chapter number 3 and verse number 18, as the Lord was addressing the lukewarm church there in Laodicea, notice what he said there in verse number 18. "I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich." Now watch this. "And white garments." Why, Jesus? "That you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed." You see that? We need to be mindful of that. And again, knowing that the Bible upholds the principle that for one's nakedness to be uncovered is for one's shame to be seen, we should wear clothing that covers our nakedness, lest one's shame be seen. We also should wear clothing that does not send the wrong message or draw undue attention to self, provoking lust to others. Did you know, whether you realize it or not, what you are wearing is sending a message? Did you know that? You see, we do send a message in the clothes that we wear. It tells a lot about who we truly are, just in the clothes that we wear. And we need to be mindful of the fact that we need to be wearing clothing that doesn't send the wrong message. Clothing that doesn't draw undue attention to ourselves, provoking lust to others. In Proverbs chapter 7, we read about a crafty harlot and the seducing ways of an immoral woman there. And there in Proverbs chapter 7 and verse number 10, we learn about a woman with the attire of a harlot. And what was her primary focus? What was her focus? What message was she trying to send in dressing as a harlot? What was her aim? To seduce that young man, right? Did it work? It did, didn't it? You see, I find it interesting that the designer of the miniskirt once said that the miniskirt was designed specifically for one purpose. You want to know what that one purpose was that designer of the miniskirt said that miniskirt was designed for? To seduce a man. Think about that. Think about that. And we need to realize that as Christians, we must not send the wrong message. And we must beware of the danger of causing another to stumble. Again, there may be some women who wear those mini skirts with no ill intentions in mind at all. But you want to know something? Whether you intend to make a man look or not, guess what? Most of the time, men's going to look, aren't they, when they wear those short mini skirts? Most of the time, the purpose that designer of the mini skirt had in mind is going to be fruitful, isn't it? It's going to be fruitful. And we need to be mindful of that. We need to be aware of that. We need to be aware of the need to draw undue attention to self. Again, we may not be looking to draw that attention to ourselves and the things that we wear, but we need to be aware that the things that we wear can draw undue attention to ourselves. Again, what about that guy who walks around wearing his breeches down to his knees? Think that's going to draw attention? It does, doesn't it, TJ? It draws attention just as much as that woman walking around in those short Daisy Duke shorts, short miniskirt. It draws just as much attention, doesn't it? And we need to be aware of that. We need to be aware of wearing clothing that draws undue attention, clothing that sends the wrong message, clothing that could provoke others to lust. We need to be mindful, as the Bible teaches there in Romans chapter 14, turn there with me, the need not to do anything by which we can cause our brother to stumble. And there in Romans chapter 14, in the latter part of verse 13, we learn that we must beware of putting a stumbling block or to cause a way to fall in our brother's way. We need to avoid that. Paul goes on to say there in verse 21 of Romans chapter 14 that it is good not to do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended. You see, ladies, when you're wearing those halter tops that expose much of your breast, when you wear those tight fitting jeans that expose much of your curves in your body, when you wear those tight fitting leggings, which many want to call pants today, that exposes much of your body, your form of your body, when you wear those short shorts, those skirts that expose your thighs and your buttocks, guess what? You're wearing clothing that could provoke another to lust. Men, we need to be careful what we wear too, right? We can wear clothing that is too tight too, right? That can show forms of our body, especially if you're one who works out a lot. We can go around, walking around in those short shorts with nothing, no shirt or anything on, exposing too much of our flesh and our body. That could send the wrong message too. And we need to be aware of that. We need to be mindful of the fact that what we wear, whether or not we intend to send the wrong message, it's going to send a message. And sometimes it can even cause others to provoke them to lust. That's serious, isn't it? That's serious. Knowing that, we need to be aware of that. And we need to be careful not to wear clothing that sends the wrong message or draw undue attention to self, provoking others to lust. We also should wear clothing that will positively help our influence as a Christian rather than hinder our influence as a Christian. Again, what we wear should reflect well to our identity as a child of God. When you go out in public, are you wearing clothing that identifies you well as a child of God? Or are you wearing clothing that nobody can distinguish you from any other individual in the world? What kind of clothing are you wearing? You see, when we go around wearing immodest clothing, guess what? We're being conformed to the world. And we're not wearing clothing that disguises us and identifies us as a child of God. And as children of God, we must always seek to set the proper example, right? We must always seek to let our light so shine before others that they may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 16. And we need to be reminded of the fact that, as Paul mentions there in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15, that as Christians, we should be blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom we shine as lights in the world. Well, remember that, brethren. We need to set the proper example at all times. We need to be mindful that as God's people, we are the light of this world. And we need to make sure that when we go out into this world, that we are dressed in a way that not only sets a proper example for others, but also in a way that will glorify our God. And that takes us to one more point to make this morning. In regard to the question, what should we wear? We should wear clothing that is suitable for the occasion. Clothing that will glorify God. You see, we need to dress appropriately for the occasion. And I venture to say that most of us, when we ask ourselves that question, what should we wear, we're probably thinking about what we're preparing to do for that day. For instance, many of us dress accordingly to whether or not we're going to go to work, whether or not we're going to go to a special event such as a wedding, maybe even a funeral, and even worship services like we are here this morning. Even when we come into to worship God, we need to make sure that we are properly dressed, right? Dressed in a way that it pleases God and gives glory to God. In regard to the need to dress and wear clothing that is suitable for the occasion, I want us to take a look at a couple examples in the Scripture. Notice there in Genesis chapter 41. There in Genesis chapter 41, and not too long ago, David took us through the book of Genesis. And remember there in Genesis 41, Joseph was in prison, wasn't he? And he was about to be brought out before Pharaoh. And there in Genesis chapter 41 and verse 14, it's recorded that Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon, and he shaved, changed his clothing, and came to Pharaoh. I want you to think about that for a moment. Why do you think Joseph, before he came to Pharaoh, shaved, changed his clothing? Why do you think that was? Well, apparently Joseph's attire was not suitable for such an occasion as appearing before the ruler of Egypt, right? Let me give you another example. There in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse number 20. Again, as good Bible students, we're familiar with the context there in 2 Samuel chapter 12. We're familiar with David's child dying, right? And notice here in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse number 20. After David heard about his child's death, it said, "So David arose from the ground, washed and anointed himself, and changed his clothes, and he went into the house of the Lord and worshipped." Again, why do you think David did this? Why do you think David washed, anointed himself, changed his clothes before he went into the house of the Lord and worshipped? He obviously thought his previous appearance was unsuitable for such an occasion, to go into the house of the Lord to worship. We need to be mindful of that, right? Again, we need to recognize the principle to wear clothing that is suitable for the occasion. We need to recognize the need to do all that we seek to do to glorify God, including the way we dress. Because there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 31, what did Paul say? Do all that you do. To who? The glory of God. Notice, Paul didn't say do this and do that. He said do all. All that you do. Key word. To the glory of God. Guess what that's going to include? It's going to include the way we dress. Brethren, may we all take the subject of modest dress seriously, and may we as God's children always seek to be modestly dressed each and every day, no matter what time of the year it is. And may we likewise seek to instill this much needed principle into the hearts of our children and grandchildren as we seek to instruct them in the way they should go to be pleasing to God. Maybe there is one here this morning who wants to please God, wants to someday inherit a home in heaven, but you have not yet submitted to God's will. You have an opportunity to do that this very hour, for you have heard the word of God. And if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, you can repent of your sins, you can confess Jesus Christ, and you can be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins this very hour. You can be buried in that watery grave of baptism. You can put off that old man of sin by being raised up out of that watery grave to walk in a newness of life. And you too can have that hope of eternal life which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Titus chapter 1, verse number 2. And may we all always remember the need to continue to keep on keeping on, the need to continue to remain faithful unto death. For as Jesus promised in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Maybe there is one here this morning who's already submitted himself in obedience to the Lord and His will, but maybe you haven't been faithful. Maybe you've strayed from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. You're encouraged to repent of your sins, confess them to God, ask Him for His forgiveness. Get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life this very hour. We still have that opportunity to do so. So if there would be one here this morning, you'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation. Whatever that need may be, won't you let that need be made known now while making your way toward the front while we stand and sing the song, Max is Selected.